This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
Stephanopoulos, the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos, had on Sarah Sanders, the White House press secretary. And this is what his unbiased assessment was. Cut six.
You watched over the last 24, 48 hours as members of the Democrat Party and liberal media, their liberal media allies, were almost sorrowful that something bad didn't happen.
Sarah, that was the first headline.
Working as a foreign agent for the Russian government.
That was the first headline we had in our hellos right there, saying he didn't reach the conclusion there was a criminal conspiracy. But what the report also does is expose a culture of lying at the White House, the president lying, telling others to lie, and it calls your personal credibility.
A culture of lying. It's the unbiased journalist's unbiased assessment. Now, we also have, just to prove the point, by the way, of how the president has been relentlessly attacked over and over and over and over and over again. And it's sort of my central thesis of this whole point of when you're beat up every day, day in, day out, who wouldn't want this? And you know you're innocent. You know you didn't collude. But day in, day out, you have to hear this crap. Who would not want the prosecutor fired and want this thing to go away? I remind you, the president did not fire him. He could have. He didn't. And the excuse of his aides didn't carry out his orders is not a legitimate excuse. Okay? Understand that. That is not a legitimate excuse. If you disagree, let me know. 855-839-1210. This is Crazy Lawrence O'Donnell. Crazy Larry from June 7th, 2017.
There has been much discussion this year comparing this investigation to the Watergate investigation. Weeks ago, Senator John McCain said this scandal was beginning to resemble the size and the scale of Watergate. And now, tonight, we have arrived at Watergate. This is Watergate. There is no question now that this investigation is covering some identical ground to the Watergate investigation, and that the peril to the president is just as great.
This is Watergate.
I'm glad you did that, because I thought he practiced that in front of his mirror 250 times.
You're right. You're so right. He definitely did, right?
He totally did.
This is Watergate. Wait, you know what? You know what would make it better, by the way? Hang on a second. I got an idea. This will make it better. Where's that thing? I love that. Oh, here we go. Ready? Go ahead, Greg.
This is Watergate.
Yeah, and then, of course, this was also in between his...
Stop the hammering!
This is
Stop
Watergate.
The hammering!
I love when he yells at himself like that. Oh, that's great. Actually, can you play the whole cut over and over again? Start over.
There has been much discussion
Stop
this year
the hammering.
Comparing this investigation to the Watergate
Stop
investigation. Weeks ago, Senator John McCain said this scandal was beginning to resemble the size and the scale
hammering.
Of Watergate. And now, tonight, we have arrived at Watergate.
Stop
this
the hammering.
Is Watergate. There is no question now.
All right, you're a crazy person. You're a crazy man. I like Larry O'Donnell yelling at Larry O'Donnell. Crazy Lawrence O'Donnell yelling at Crazy Lawrence O'Donnell. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
He's telling himself to shut up.
He is. He's telling himself to shut up. It's great. Because his words are just like a hammer in your head. Let's see what other crazy audio we have. This is from The Walls Are Closing In. This is like winter's coming, but the walls are closing in.
The walls are closing in on the Trump presidency.
I want to begin with the walls really closing in.
The walls are closing in.
The investigative walls are closing in.
The walls are really closing in.
The walls are closing in.
Walls are closing in.
The walls seem to be closing in. I'm overusing my cliches.
I hate overusing this metaphor of the walls closing in.
I mean, we've been saying the walls are closing in for 2 years, but it feels like they're actually closing right now.
And as the walls start to close in on the president.
As the walls close in.
He feels the walls closing in.
The walls are closing in is the wrong image, but the bricks are sort of making the roof, buckle.
That's the definition of the walls closing in.
And if this president feels as if the walls are closing in tonight, he's right, because they are.
Coming up next, the walls appear to be closing in.
Welcome back. The walls might be closing in.
Are the walls closing in?
Are the walls closing in?
Sort of where? When you say the walls are closing in.
The walls clearly closing in.
The walls are definitely closing in.
The walls coming, closing in on him.
This is it.
Mueller's walls.
The legal walls.
The walls.
The walls.
The walls are closing in.
Winter is coming. This, I mean, the craziness. I love it. The walls are not, it's more like the bricks are coming apart, or the roof is unbelievable. I like the guy with the British accent, by the way.
Yes.
When he says it, you believe him. Yeah. The walls are closing in.
Everybody with a British accent, you have to just take, you know.
You got to believe him. And what I loved about it, too, is that it almost reminded me of a Game of Thrones episode. Like, the walls are closing in.
The wall.
And the White Walkers are coming.
They've broken through the wall.
The walls are closing in now as the Night King moves north.
We have to talk about Khaleesi at some point. She's getting too big for her britches.
In real life or on the show?
No, on the show.
On the show. By the way, did you see our buddy Rick last night? For Rick,
yes.
With the Zeoli Army license plate, our buddy Rick, he said that we have inspired him to start Game of Thrones because we've talked about it so much.
Oh, good.
So, Rick, thanks for coming, buddy. Good to see you. And let me know. I said it to him. Let me know what you think. But I think you'll like it. It's not incredibly realistic. I need to say that off the top. Got to say that right away because I don't want to, you know, mislead anybody. But yes, we should talk about Khaleesi and how very, very. I love her though.
Yeah,
I really do. I just think she's just, you know. Well, the first presidential candidate of 2020 has called for the president's impeachment. Joe Biden is going to enter the race for president, and the Flyers cover Kate Smith's statue because of alleged racist songs in the 1930s. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Zeoli Show on Twitter at Rich Zeoli and Facebook.com/Zeoli Show. I will be in for Mark Levin tonight, so please stick with me up until 9 p.m. tonight. Would appreciate it. Happy Passover if you're celebrating. Good Friday. Happy Good Friday. Happy Easter weekend to you and your family. So obviously, with the collusion narrative over, the next thing people have to talk about is obstruction of justice. And Mitt Romney blasts the president after reading the Mueller report. Mitt Romney was sickened and appalled by the actions of the president. Sickened and appalled. I am appalled that, among other things, fellow citizens working in a campaign for president welcomed help from Russia, including information that had been illegally obtained, that none of them acted to inform American law enforcement, and that the campaign chairman was actively promoting Russian interests in the Ukraine. I have a question for Senator Romney. What about the fact that the previous president of the United States let all this happen on his watch? How about the fact that President Obama allowed the Russian government to almost hack our election? Does anybody raise that point, that this really makes Obama look bad, the Obama administration look bad? I would love to have Republicans who are so sick of Trump for a minute mention, where the hell was Obama's Homeland Security in all this? Where were they in all this as the Russians were trying to hack our election and sabotage our campaign? Where were they? Instead, they're worried about people having a meeting to get dirt on a candidate, which is exactly what the Clinton campaign did as well, by the way. Get dirt on a candidate by meeting with foreign people. And I'm sorry that Paul Manafort was promoting Russian interests in the Ukraine, but that's neither here nor there in terms of the election. It's just not. You know, it's legal to do business with Russia. It's legal to do business in the Ukraine. These are not violations of law. But I don't understand why nobody points out that, hey, under President Barack Obama, the Russians were actively trying to hack an election here, actively trying, and almost pulled it off. The one thing the Mueller report does make clear that nobody should doubt is that the Russians were trying to affect our election. The Mueller report also makes clear that nobody in the Trump campaign was working with them to do so. That is a fact. Report on the investigation into the Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election and concludes that Russia had active measures. Anyway, it's amazing, right, how nobody ever looks back at that and says, where were you guys during all this? And if you really had reason to believe that the president's campaign, the Trump campaign, was being targeted by the Russians, why didn't you say anything to them? Why didn't you point any of this out to them? Why didn't you go to them and say, hey, Listen, you guys got to be careful here. Nobody mentions that either, right? Mueller finds Kushner was a top target of Russian influence, but he mostly stayed clear, steered clear. This is from McClatchy. Jared Kushner, of course, the president's son-in-law. Robert Mueller found evidence that affiliates of the Russian government repeatedly sought the audience and favor of Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law and one of his closest advisors throughout the 2016 presidential campaign. But Mueller's documentation of these efforts, detailed in the partly redacted report, shows that Kushner rebuffed most of those overtures. Communication records show formal and informal associates of Russian President Vladimir Putin pursued inroads with Kushner through a network of shared contacts. While Kushner acknowledged to investigators that he was seeking better relations with Moscow after Trump's November 2016 election, most Russian intermediaries failed in attempts to directly communicate with him. Let me say that again. Most Russian intermediaries failed in attempts to directly communicate with him. In 265 references to Kushner throughout the report, many of which are footnotes documenting text, phone, and email exchanges, Kushner is on the receiving end of unsolicited emails and requests for meetings. The report recounts only two exchanges between Kushner and Russian nationals throughout the 2016 race. A handshake at Washington's Mayflower Hotel with the Russian ambassador, who Kushner did not recognize by name until after the election. Wow. What a monster. What a spy. And the Trump Tower meeting with a Russian lawyer held on June 9th of that year. That meeting, organized by Trump's son, Donald Trump Jr., with Natalia Veselinaika, a former Russian prosecutor who had maintained ties with the government, was the only incident Mueller explicitly found that mentions Kushner that was investigated for violations of specific federal election laws. The stated purpose of the meeting was to discuss Russian dirt on Hillary Clinton. Now, why is it okay for the Clinton campaign to get Russian dirt on Donald Trump, but not the Trump campaign to get Russian dirt on Hillary Clinton? Never understood that. By the way, I defend the practice of opposition research, and I'm telling you right now, it is a dirty, dirty, dirty business. And every single person who does opposition research would get information from the candidate's own mother if they could. There is nothing that stops them from doing it. And there's no law against it, by the way. You can't steal it, obviously, but you're allowed to talk to Russians or anybody else you want. No law against that. The stated purpose was the Russian dirt, but documentary evidence in the form of email chain supports the inference that Kushner and Manafort were aware of the purpose and attended the June 9th meeting, anticipating the receipt of helpful information to the campaign from Russian sources. Okay. While Mueller concluded there were reasonable arguments for prosecutorial action, he ultimately opted against it, finding the available evidence would not meet a criminal burden of proof that Trump aides were willfully violating the law or seeking valuable information from a foreign power. Texts and emails verified Kushner's account of the meeting to investigators. As the meeting transpired, he described it as a waste of time in a text to Manafort and asked his aides to call with an excuse to leave early. Kushner did build a relationship during the campaign with one individual connected to the Russian government, Dmitry Sims, the head of a think tank in Washington known for its Russia policy programs. He discouraged Kushner from publicly associating with Russians, citing concerns about optics, and provided Kushner with a memo on potential Russian policy that he passed along to other campaign aides. Kushner explained to Mueller's team that his relationship with him arose from the campaign's trouble securing support from experienced foreign policy professionals. He and his think tank, CNI, organized an event in March of 2016 at the Mayflower Hotel featuring Trump, where the candidate and his senior staff, including Kushner and Jeff Sessions, then a senior policy advisor, briefly engaged with the Russian ambassador. So now it's a crime to engage with the Russian ambassador now. Intelligence officials targeting Kushner appear to have intensified after Trump won the election, with several Russian nationals reaching out to individuals they consider to be valuable intermediaries. Anyway, a person familiar with all of this, well, I should say anybody who's read the report shows that Jared was telling the truth all along. It vindicates him. It's definitive proof that he did nothing wrong. I'm sure, though, that that's irrelevant to most people who believe of the Mitt Romney mindset of how dare you even talk to Russian people about dirt on Hillary Clinton. Hey, pal, listen, all right? They were doing it to him, and the Trump campaign was trying to do it to her. And you're the guy who got blasted by President Obama for the 1980s call and wanted their foreign policy back. You remember that? You were warning people of Russia, and Barack Obama mocked you for that. You remember that? Mitt, And then he said the 1980s call, they want their foreign policy back. Well, hate to tell you, but the Barack Obama presidency allowed the Russians, willfully or unwillfully, to try to sabotage our election. And that's just a fact. That's a fact that you cannot dispute. But of course, we don't have an honest media, so nobody's going to bring that up. Nobody will mention who was president when all this took place. It's amazing, right? How it's like, it's almost as if Barack Obama's presidency didn't happen. You know, as if when the Russians were trying to do all this, we just didn't have a president. We didn't have one yet because the election hadn't happened yet. So just a wide open Oval Office. It's not how it works. Somebody's in charge. And the question that his Homeland Security Department should be asked is, what did you know and why did you not tell the campaign about this? And why did you not make this something that would be relevant so they could do something about it? And you know what I think the answer is? And I think everybody knows the answer. The answer is because Russian collusion was the excuse that they needed. Russians hacking our election was the excuse that they used to spy on Carter Page and George Papadopoulos and gain entry into the campaign. That's the reality that nobody wants to mention, but it's the truth. You know it and I know it. That's the only reason why the administration would not take the steps to help the Trump campaign insulate itself from Russia. What's the other reason? So that point is something that everybody should remember. Remember it well. Remember I talked about it because you're not going to hear it in many other places, unfortunately, because we just don't have the honesty of a media that was even looking at this. James Clapper, a liar, a notorious liar, a man who should be in prison. The former intelligence chief, James Clapper, said if active collusion wasn't proven, well, then we have something else. Ready? If not active, then?
Mueller determined that no one from the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with Russia. Didn't determine is whether or not members of the Trump campaign may have been unwitting assets of the Russian government.
Well, I think if there wasn't active collusion proven, then I think what we have here is a case of passive collusion, where in some cases, unwittingly, to include candidate passive Trump collusion. Himself, who retweeted
it's like a passive aggressive behavior
messages that had been planted by the Russians in social media.
Passive aggression. He's so passive with his aggression, isn't he? By the way, people who are passive aggressive are the most annoying people in the world.
Exactly.
You always know who they are, right? Mm-hmm. They're so annoying. And they're always the same, too. Anything wrong? No. Are you being passive aggressive again? Are you using passive collusion again? Are you passively colluding?
What is passive collusion?
Passive collusion, Greg.
Sorry.
The report finds no evidence of active collusion. However, passive collusion was heavily going on here.
Can I passively commit a crime? Is that
you can passively do that passively?
Like if I'm actively committing a crime, I'm committing the crime. If I'm passively committing the crime, then I'm not. I don't know.
Well, this shows you didn't actively rob a bank; you passively robbed a bank. You understand?
Is the sentence less for that?
Now, did Robert Kraft actively try to get a happy ending, or did he passively try to get one? That's my question. I don't know the answer to that. Hopefully, we'll look into that. In due time, of course. Yes. The passive, not active collusion. Passive. Okay, by the way, I have some bad news. They're about to ruin two of the greatest shows in television history.
Oh, no.
Ready?
Oh, no.
They are remaking All in the Family and the Jeffersons. And you know they are going to completely screw this up. Yeah. Yeah, they're remaking All in the Family, and I can only imagine what they're going to do to Archie Bunker.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And they're remaking the Jeffersons. And you can only imagine how much they are going to destroy these two great shows.
Is Archie
going
to be a Trump supporter?
Right, exactly. And Archie will have to denounce his ways and, you know. I wonder if Rob Reiner will reprise his role as Meatloaf or Meathead.
Meathead.
Just a reminder, I'm in for Mark Levin tonight, so please hang out till 9 o'clock. Would appreciate that. This is interesting. The Jupiter case against Robert Kraft. Apparently, the video was leaked. And the attorneys of two of the women charged want contempt charges filed against the prosecutor. Attorneys for two of the women charged in a Florida prostitution sting asked a judge on Thursday to hold police and prosecutors in contempt of court following reports that someone was shopping around undercover video of New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft. The motion was filed by attorneys for Lee Wang and Hua Zhang, who are accused of working the Orchids of Asia Day Spa in Jupiter. Dawn, I have a question.
Yes.
Why would they arrest these victims of modern day slavery?
That's what I thought they said. This was a human trafficking case.
Why would they arrest the victims of human trafficking, Dawn?
Maybe they didn't think they were victims of human trafficking.
Dawn, it seems to be the case that they were not victims of human trafficking.
Thank God.
That's right.
So Li Wang and Hua Zhang.
Wang and Zhang.
Wang and Zhang.
I love their work.
I'd like to propose for membership of the club tonight, Wang and Zhang. I saw Wang and Zhang opened up for Wham back in.
Yeah, it was Soups.
Great cover band.
Great show.
The attorneys cited a New York Daily News story that reports of an unknown person had contacted TheBlast.com, which footage of Kraft naked with another person, presumably the massage therapist. The attorney said only police and prosecutors have access to the footage, which a judge is temporarily barred from release. The attorneys argue that releasing the footage would violate their client's rights to privacy and fair trials. You think? Jupiter Police spokesman O'Neill Anderson told the Associated Press that he doubts the authenticity of the reports. He said his department has taken every precaution to secure the evidence and he doesn't believe anyone in the police department or the state attorney's office would leak the video. Okay, I want to say this. There's no way the cops leaked it.
Right.
State's attorney's office, 100% leaked it.
Right.
Yep.
No doubt.
I agree.
No doubt. There's,
no doubt.
Because no cop is going to risk his career by leaking that video.
Correct.
Because it'll be out soon. And they, you know what I mean? No. Yep. The state's attorney's office, yes, because this is revenge.
Mm-hmm.
The prosecutor is getting revenge. This guy should be disbarred. So I also want to know this. These women who were brought here in chains and held against their will, had to eat ramen noodles in the back, were not free to leave, modern day slavery in our sight. Why would he prosecute them? Why would he prosecute these victims?
Seems unfair. Yep.
They live their life as slaves.
Slaves.
Human trafficked.
Human trafficked.
Slaves.
Yep.
And then they get hit with a prostitution charge?
Yep.
Very interesting. I find that to be very interesting. Yes, Dawn.
These prosecutors, this is not going to end well for them as far as the media. But they're going to find there's going to be a turn here because of the way they played it. Because human trafficking is a very serious thing.
Indeed.
And everybody's learning about that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not going to go well for them, in my opinion.
The fact that they use that as the impetus.
Yep.
They basically, you know, forgive my, but they pimped human trafficking, which is a very serious thing that's happening in our nation.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are, you know, awakened to this and are working very hard to fight against this. Mm-hmm. And many of them are Americans underage, 50% foster kids from the foster system because, oh, they ran away. Well, no, they didn't run away, you see. So it's a very serious thing. I just think these prosecutors are going to, because the police are not going to take the fall for this. They're going to say, look, it's not our fault. We follow the directions.
Right. Right.
So this is going to come down. It's not law enforcement that'll take the blame. It's the prosecutors bungled this. That's my opinion.
You're 100% right. I agree with you 100%. The prosecutor is the one here. He's the one who gave the orders to go in. He's the one who gave the orders to spy. Can I say he's a spy? To spy on these people. And he's the one who did the joint federal local task force.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one behind all this. That prosecutor, who I want to remind everybody, is an elected official. He runs for the job. He's an elected official. He's a Democrat. And he wants to be governor someday. And this is what he did. He abused his powers. He violated people's civil liberties. And while he's proclaiming human trafficking in our midst, he's locking up women who are given happy endings.
Well,
who
now
aren't
he
sex
is.
Slaves. Right. Yeah,
he
now
didn't arrest
he is, right.
them at first.
Right.
But now that this whole now he's trying to turn it. Oh, he's arresting them. So now he's like changing his story.
It's a disgrace. Guy's a disgrace.
By the way, and when this story was happening, when this first happening, and the sex trafficking and all this stuff, it was major page one news.
Yes,
right.
A good point.
This is now, like now that all this stuff, I didn't even know that the charges of human trafficking were dropped. Like it's been buried. Like this has been buried completely, which is outrageous. That's outrageous.
It's a great point.
It's a great point. The New York Times, right after this, had a whole big front page. You know, illicit massage parlors. And it was totally racist. Because every massage parlor in there was Asian.
Yep.
And they went after, they named the Orchids of Day Spa and Orchids of June and, you know, Happy, Happy Day Spa. And everyone was Asian. And they all targeted these places and said that they're all guilty of prostitution and everything else. Where's the New York Times right now going on about how these women, they're having their rights abused by this prosecutor as he now goes after them? It's amazing to me, the hypocrisy of this.
It's literally my job to scour the news. That's literally my job. And I didn't see an article about this until we Googled it the other day when you brought it up, because I didn't even, you know, it's been buried. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not, again, it reminds me of sort of the Katie Brennan situation. So you'll find it locally, you know, in Jupiter, Florida.
And in Boston, they're really circling the wagons around, what's his name, Kraft, because, you know, he's beloved up there. So.
Right. And I, you know, and this is, I don't know Robert Kraft. I don't care about him personally as a team owner or anything. But I care about him as an American protected by the Constitution. And this is just an outrage of what's going on here. It's an outrage. But of course now, because it doesn't fit the narrative that he was engaged in, you know, the rich white guy partaking in and enabling human trafficking, right? Wasn't that what we were told?
Yeah. Yes.
That you are creating a demand for human trafficking. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that Robert Kraft and the others were creating a demand for human trafficking? And Robert Kraft, who's buddies with Trump and goes to Mar-a-Lago and everything else. Oh, damn it. I forgot to play my Mar-a-Lago bit with Christy.
We can play it on Monday.
Play it on Monday.
Yeah. There's not enough time right now.
It's not enough time. But you know what I mean, Dawn?
Yeah.
Right? So you go from white privileged rich guy who is enabling and creating a demand for human trafficking to release the video of him getting his with his pants down and lock up the women who rubbed him down because we got nothing. So now it's just a regular run-of-the-mill prostitution bust that happens in every town in America almost every day. But does it involve millions of dollars, multiple agencies, the violations of the Patriot Act, and everything else? That's all.
Yeah, and nobody, but to Greg's point, they're not talking about it.
No.
They botched it so bad, to Rich's point, they botched it so bad that somebody, they're like, well, somebody has to go down for this. So, you know, we're going to release the tape and we're going to, you know, Wang and Zhang are going down and, you know, somebody's got to pay for this because we made this a bigger deal than it actually was.
But because they don't have the audio, I don't think they're going to have the women either.
No.
And so
everybody's getting off, pun intended.
And so everybody has a lawyer. I don't think they expected people would fight this.
So here's my next prediction. They'll get off, and then they're going to sue their asses off,
they should.
Yep. So it turns out that the real ending of this story is going to be a very happy one for the people who've been charged. And I think that prosecutor's got problems. I really do.
Yeah.
I bet you this guy. I bet you look into his work as prosecutor. I bet you this is not the first time he's overreached. I have a feeling. I have a feeling.
Palm Beach County's going to be Orchids of Asia County soon.
Yeah, right, exactly. They'll open up a satellite branch at Mar-a-Lago after this. All right, listen, I'm in for Levin tonight, so stick around for that. And should I do the thing now with the...
You should go up to 30.
You know, because with live radio, we got to make sure that we always hit the clock right. And it's in no way like I pre-recorded my last half hour to get ready for Mark's show. It's definitely not what this is in any way, shape, or form. So
to make it work, you have to go to 30.
By the way, you know what I have to say? And I hope people look at the video.
The Robert Kraft video?
No, the Zioli video from last night with the Chris Christie event. Phew. Didn't Zioli look nice with the new suit?
Thank you. See that?
Look very thin and svelte.
Thank you. Yes. By the way, standing next to Chris Christie, it's not hard to look thin and svelte, but thank you.
He lost some weight.
Yeah, he
did.
Good.
Yeah,
I was talking to somebody who was like, he looked better.
He looked good. Looked better.
I think he's a stress eater, so maybe he's with his kids and a lot of family time, so that's probably why he lost a little weight.
Yeah, we'll talk to him now. I'm going to replay from last night. It's good, though. It's his thoughts on the Mueller report, and you should hear it. It's very relevant. Yeah. We'll play that next. And we got another minute. So,
just do it. You can just do it, bro. It's cool. It's cool. We'll make anything work. I'm going to leave you in the capable hands of Phil soon.
Oh, look at this. 32% of foods claiming to be gluten-free contain gluten.
I meant
How
to do
about
that,
that?
Yes.
See that?
Yes, because if they, if they cook a gluten-free pizza in the same oven, it's the same premise if you're allergic to meat and they cook it on the same skillet or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of gluten, our pizza's here.
Oh, good. Hang on, we got about 48 seconds. Hang on. Easter egg hunt this weekend. I'm going to do the Easter egg hunt. So that's good.
Do you get the plastic eggs?
You know, it's funny. We did the hard-boiled eggs. And
you
this
do?
Is what bad radio sounds like, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Amazing. I've always wondered what it sounds like. This is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or
it's
just
amazing.
Tune into WAB.
Like this audience isn't used to this.
No,
they're like,
I know.
Wait a second, what is going on here?
Yeah.
You know what I did? We did the hard boiled eggs, and we did the kids did the paws, and they painted them and everything with the stickers. So that was really fun.
Make sure you count them.
Oh, we will.
Yes,
you don't want an egg hanging out on the property.
Oh.
That'll bring in the rodents.
Yeah, we've had that happen.
Have had that happen?
Like, what's that smell?
Yeah, it's not good. Oh, it's an egg 6 Easters ago. Look.
By the way, you're being called out for fat shaming, Christy.
By who?
Check your texts.
It's not nice.
By my text messages? Yeah. Oh, let me guess. Yep, I knew it. All right, as I get ready to fill in for the great one, Mark Levin, tonight, hope you'll stay with me after the show tonight. Remember, you'll just hear me. There'll be no laughter, but that doesn't mean you can't laugh. You should laugh. In fact, you should tell everybody you know how funny I am and tell them to laugh. That would be nice. I could feel it through the airwaves. But in the meantime, we did have a good time last night with Chris Christie, as I mentioned. And Chris Christie, of course, is in the Mueller report. He's mentioned over 50 times in the Mueller report. So talk about timely. Go sit down with the governor, who's a former federal prosecutor, who's literally in the Mueller report. And we had a good conversation. So you can hear the whole interview, by the way, the whole chit chat with me and Christie. If you go to 1210WPHG.com/rich, you can hear the whole thing. Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast, by the way, if you would be so kind. Take a listen. Overall, Mueller report impressions. Obviously today the media was running around saying there's evidence of obstruction of justice. And they cited 10 different examples of this. I don't see it, but you're a former U.S. attorney. You know the law better than any of us. So,
well, let's start off with the good news. The good news is that there was no collusion with the Russian government. That should make every American, whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent, happy, because we would not want for a moment to have the campaign of our president having colluded with a foreign enemy to try to affect the election. And so I think that's great news, and it should be the headline. That, and what we should do, and I hope what the president will do, is use the first part of that report to lay out a blueprint for how we're going to protect the 2020 election from the same type of shenanigans. Because if we think the Russians are going to stop, they're not. And we got to get better at stopping them. On the part on obstruction, first of all, there is no underlying crime to obstruct. And I won't get too technical legal, but when there's no underlying crime to obstruct, what are you obstructing? So that's the first problem, right? Now, did the president do some things that are embarrassing? Yes. Are any of us shocked by that? No. I think the great news out of the report is that he did have a few people around him who saved him from himself. And by the way, we all want to have that when we're chief executives. You want to have some staff people who, when you're at your worst moment, will say to you, go take a walk, go have a drink, go home to your family, we'll talk about it tomorrow. And you saw a number of examples, most particularly Don McGahn, the White House counsel, who stopped this president from obstructing justice a couple of times, ordered Don to fire Bob Mueller. And Don said, I won't do it, and if you try to make me, I'll quit. And the president thought about it and said, yeah, all right, you're probably right, don't do it. That's a good thing. It's a good thing that you had people around him who were willing, and there were a number of other folks who filled that role.
And it's a good thing he took their advice.
Right, I mean, in the end, he didn't do it. So there's evidence of thinking about obstructing, That's not a crime. You must actually obstruct. Imagine if all of us were allowed to be prosecuted for our bad thoughts. Half the people in this room, including me, would be gone. We'd be off in prison, right? We all have bad thoughts at times. We all need people in our lives who are, whether it's our spouse, our children, our parents, our colleagues and associates at work, who look at us and say, that's a really bad idea, don't do it. And so I think it's great that the president had that. I don't think anybody will be shocked by any of the stuff in the report as to the president's conduct. I think folks have already baked that in. They know that this is a guy who's emotional, who wears his heart on his sleeve, who is at times impulsive. That's who he was when we voted for him. That's who he is today. And you got to take with every person you vote for, like it or not, you take the good with the bad. And so there's some things the president did in there that disappointed me, that I wish he wouldn't have done. But in the end, he didn't commit a crime, and we need to move on and get back to the country's business.
Will the Democrats be smart enough to move on, though? Because I see them heading towards political disaster by obsessing about this again.
Well, it's going to be interesting because it'll be depending on who makes the decision, right? Like, right before I left here, when we had a, you know, at ABC, you had a bunch of different shows on, and I forget which network it was, but one of them had Steny Hoyer on, who's the majority leader in the House, Democrat from Maryland, and he said, no basis for impeachment in the report, no reason to deal with this. Let's go to fixing health care and infrastructure. If they listen to Steny Hoyer, who's the number two guy in the House, they'll be smart enough to do that. Now, if they listen to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, they're going to go in an entirely different direction. So this is a big moment for the leadership of the Democratic Party, for Nancy Pelosi in particular. She's going to have to decide which way is she going here. Let's remember that as Republicans in 1998 and 99, we overreached against Bill Clinton. We impeached him. We didn't have the votes to convict him. And it wound up having a boomerang effect with the country, and he became more popular than he was before. The very same thing will happen if the Democrats overreach. I'm convinced of it, that they will cause the American people to say, wait a second, the guy didn't commit a crime. We had 2 years of investigation. The guy concluded there was no crime. This is all politics. You're bad people. I'm with the president. Even if I have some misgivings about him in some respects, I'm with him because you're awful people. And so I think there's a risk of that. We're going to see who's going to win here. The new breed Democrat, who's going to be looking to push the pedal to the metal, or the more experienced Democrat like Hoyer, who's going to say, let's have the election in 2020 decide this question, not something beforehand.
Do you think any of the Republican candidate or the Democrat candidates will bring this issue up? Or, I mean, it seems like they would be smarter than Gerald Nadler, who, you know, is already obsessed with this today. But then again, I saw Cory Booker tweeted out the Mueller report, the searchable version, so you could search it, you know. But I think he's the only one I really heard comment on it. I think if you're running for president, you got to stay a million miles away from this. But
I mean, listen, I think that the problem, Rich, is that, you know, that all the energy in the Democratic Party right now is on the far left. Mm-hmm. And so people like Booker, who have at times been sensibly moderate Democrats on things like charter schools, school
when
choice.
He ran for mayor of Newark.
And vouchers.
A totally different guy.
Yeah, right? Have moved way left because they think that's where the energy is. So I think you're right that most of the candidates should stay away from it, but I'm not sure that they will, because some of them are so desperate to get any attention in a huge field like this, that setting themselves on fire over Trump may be just one of the ways they decide to do it. You know, like the old frame, they'll burn down the village in order to save it. Right. You know, I think that some of them may do that. So I think we got to watch it. But today is good news for the country and good news for the president. And that's what we should be focused on. And I think if we are, we can hopefully get some things accomplished before the election, that like infrastructure and other things that would be good for the country.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the key. Again, you can hear the entire conversation with Christie if you go to 1210wphu.com/rich. Okay, yes. So as, again, filling in for Mark Levin tonight, so just stay right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and you will not miss a thing. Obviously, I will be discussing the Mueller report tonight. Levin was on Fox and Friends this morning, and he said that this is basically a 400-page press release. It's a New York Times op-ed. That's all it really is. It's nothing more than that. I think the key takeaway from all this is the concept, and this is something, Christy, you just heard Christy say, how can there be obstruction of justice if there's no crime that was committed? If you're not trying to cover up a crime, how do you obstruct justice? And look, that's a guy who put people in federal prison for obstructing justice and committing crimes. So I think he would know. I've heard a lot of people say wrong information today, as I mentioned earlier, but the big information that people are getting wrong is this notion that by telling somebody you want to do something and then they advise you differently and you don't do it, that it's the same thing as if you had done it. I mean, how stupid is that? Because that's the argument, right? Well, all these people who didn't carry out Trump's orders. Okay, look, we're not executing people here. It's a presidential directive. If they don't follow through and he doesn't force somebody to follow through, that means he didn't really want it done. Right? I mean, he would know if it was done or not. In other words, if he gave somebody the directive to have Rod Rosenstein fire Mueller and nobody did, he would know they didn't do it because Mueller is still there. This isn't like you can say, I want that guy's head chopped off, and then they pretend the guy's head was chopped off, but they just move him to a different place, and they pretend he's dead, but he's not really dead, and the president has no idea, or the king has no idea, because that happens in, like, Game of Thrones, for example. You know, they think somebody's dead, but they're not really dead. And like, you can fake a death, is my point. You can fake that, but you can't fake this. Either Mueller's fired or he's gone. So then the argument becomes, well, I mean, he wanted him gone, so that's just as much. That's just the same thing. No, it's not. Imagine if you're thinking about having an affair, for example, and, you know, you tell your best friend about it. Your best friend talks you out of it. You don't do it. Well, by the logic raised by Democrats today, you might as well have done it because you're guilty just for thinking of it. And this is the point that was also made last night by Christy, which is that when you are a leader in your worst moment and somebody there is there to talk you out of it, of following your worst impulses at your worst moment, that's a good thing. It's why presidents have advisors. I mean, look, I've advised people before, and I'm telling you that part of the reason why, as an elected official, you want people around you is because it's not as personal to them. You know, any advisor who it tells the president don't fire Mueller has the benefit of not being told day in and day out, you're a crook, you're a spy, you're a plant, you're a Russian stooge. Think about that for a moment. The sober advice of Don McGahn, the White House counsel. Don McGahn doesn't have to worry about turning on the TV that night and hearing, Russia, the walls are closing in, like the montage we played earlier with that idiot, crazy Lawrence O'Donnell. Don McGahn does not have to worry about hearing that on his drive home. Of the walls are closing in. It's any minute now, Trump will be gone. His children will be gone. They'll all be gone. And that's the thing, is that gets to you. A normal human being with a breathing lungs and heart and mind, that's going to get to you, especially when you start bringing the kids into it. So you say, I want him fired. Somebody fire him. And then the advisors who don't have to worry about their kids being threatened like that every day, day in and day out, they say, sir, don't do it. It's not a good idea. Look, I'm Italian. I understand passion very, very well. And I've had my own moments of passion in my life where I've said, that's it, I'm done. And then other people go, just stop. So, I mean, there was a time I almost quit radio. There were 47 times I almost quit radio. Twice today, as a matter of fact, before the drive at 5, it was two instances. How many times do I want to do something stupid and Greg Stocker, my executive producer, advises me against it?
I did. Right? Just the other day you said something and I just said, don't let this affect the show.
Right. Don't let it affect the show.
Yes.
Yes, that's right. And there's another time that I wanted to do a polka contest on the air. No, I thought what we do is in the drive at 5 for a half hour of polka. And Greg strongly advised against it. He said, don't do that. It's a terrible idea. So I didn't do the polka. Now, it's like I did the polka based on this logic. It's like I did do a polka contest. By the way, where the hell was your sober analysis when Maz and Grimaldi wanted to do a water tasting? Where was that?
There was none.
Where was that dispassionate?
The 15 years of radio experience I had went out the window in one radio segment. I will never live that down.
You will never live that down. Nope. Because that's what everybody's thinking right now in the Zioli army.
Yeah,
they're all going,
I know.
Where was the freaking water tasting on the air advice, sober analysis?
I can always admit when I'm wrong. I was way wrong on that one.
But that's the point. You wanted people to advise you on things. And that's a key point, is that especially elected officials, who are the ones who are constantly being needled and their emotions. I'll give you an example. I mean, Christie made a comment last night. He said, I'm a nicer person now. I go home and my wife says to me, you're a nicer person now. He goes, I probably am, because I'm not every day being jammed, you know, every day. I mean, think about what it was like for him during Bridgegate, for example, and the constant nonstop drum beats of everything. Take that with President Trump and magnify it by 10,000 million percent. So obviously the president's going to lose it sometimes and say, I want him gone, fire him. They're going to say, don't do it, sir. And he goes, all right, forget I ever said it. And then by saying forget I ever said it is now a cover-up. It'd be the same thing. How many times in people's marriage they get frustrated and go, I'm leaving my husband. I'm done. I'm leaving him. He's a loser. I'm out. And then a friend says over a glass of wine, stop. He's going to get his life together. It's fine. I know he works in radio, but he's going to get his life together soon and give him another chance. You have two kids. So anyway, people sometimes say things out of passion. And then the key is when they say, forget I ever said it, you can't then turn around and go, now it's a cover up. Now you're obstructing. All right. Let me tell you about this now. Spring is really in the bloom over at Chestnut Hill College. Actually, I shouldn't do that, right? Because I should do...
Yes, we should do Who on Twitter. Yes.
So let's do that. Okay. Let's do that first, and then I'll do this.
All right. Who won Twitter? I'm going to give it to Dino Dadino. Dino Dadino said, the puck will now be white to allow whacking to be done as reparations. Dino Dadino.
Yeah.
And then they win the Good Friday weekend edition of Twitter.
Yes, the Good Friday Passover weekend edition
of Twitter.
And there's Yoli filling in for Levin next edition of Twitter. So well done. Yeah. Well done. Reach Yoli 306, Talk Radio 1210,
WPHD. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.